Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. We're about to have a great visit with Janet Christie. As I told you before, Janet is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned and 101 Winning Marketing Actions for Small Business that have become do-it-yourself workshops. And she's here to talk to us about those workshops and she's going to give us a little bit of a peek into them and give us a little bit of a head start on them right here on the show. Janet Christie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Congratulations on these workshops. I know it's going to be a great resource for small businesses. Give us a little peek get us started on what you think we need to be that you would recommend in your workshops that you do recommend the small business owners do to get started with improving their marketing actions.
My first book, Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned, was sort of a guide, and it was instruction and explanation of a lot of stuff about selling to government and to large corporations and partnering and certification. But I kept having people in my workshops and in my consulting say, yeah, you're telling us how to do it, but it's too complicated and there's too much to do.
Did they want you to do it for them, Janet?
Actually, you'd be surprised at how many people want me to fill out all that paperwork.
I would not be surprised at all.
But they said, could you just break it down into bite-sized pieces? So that's how the second book came about. And when I wrote the second book, I called it Actions because it is those bite-sized pieces of things they can actually do, and it's got templates and forms and check-off lists and things like that. And when I wrote it in mind with it is a workshop in a book, so somebody who actually has enough self-drive can take it and use it themselves. But all of us don't always do what we need to do. So I wrote it in mind with having workshops and me conducting them, but long-term, to have it so to write scripts so that all these small business centers all over the United States and women's centers and minority business centers and incubators could use it, and that's what I'm starting to do now. So I'm working with a few people to take the workshop scripts that I've written and take the book, and then they use that to actually conduct workshops. And there's two, and I did an express and an intense version of one for startups and one for growth, existing businesses. And then there's one for selling to government and education.
Well, let's get started this segment. Let's talk to the startups. In the next segment, we'll talk about the growth. Startup, where would you begin if you were a startup? What would be the first things you'd tell them in your workshop?
Because a lot of people come to the workshops or pick up this book or, started a business, they may have written a business plan, but a lot of times they haven't done some of the other things that they need to do, like identify their NAICS codes, which is, that's an industrial code that everybody's identified by. They haven't registered on CCR.
Kind of helps them be clear about what industry they're in.
Oh, yes. And they're going to have to use that to identify themselves everywhere.
Right.
And if they want to do business with federal government, whether it's as a subcontractor or a prime contractor, the very first step is to register on CCR, which is their central registration.
Commerce Clearinghouse. Is that right? Did I say that right?
It's central.
I didn't mean Commerce Clear. Go ahead, say it again.
Yeah, central contract registration.
Registry, that's right. Yeah, I said the wrong thing. Okay, go ahead.
So it breaks down into some things like that, and also we've talked about this practically every time I've been on, that they need to actually understand who their customers are.
Mm-hmm.
And then clarify their products and services.
Isn't it as important to know who your customers aren't? Wouldn't the first thing be? I'll give you an example. I agree with what you're saying. We went on an Alaskan cruise a while back, and I took 3,000 pictures. And so now I'm trying to come up with a way of condensing that down to the ones that I want to show people. And I started going through and finding the ones that I liked. And I couldn't get it done. Finally, I said, okay, why don't I just start throwing away the ones I know I'm not going to want first. So my point is, and that helped me. My point is for small businesses, and I've said this 1,000 times, Janet, the phone book is not your prospect list.
Oh,
understand no. who your prospects aren't. Don't, your prospects are not the same people who want to go to Walmart.
No. And one of the best.
And so once you can get in your head what who you aren't your prospects, then you can focus on who you are your prospects from a smaller population.
Absolutely.
Because even the people who are small business likely prospects might not be your small business likely prospects.
No, and a lot of times people want to sell to the big corporation or to the federal government when their true customers should maybe be a prime contractor or even
right.
a first-level subcontractor.
Right, exactly. There are so many small business owners making a good living one or two degrees of separation away from the big daddy customer.
And it's easier, too. You aren't responsible for doing all the bidding
Bingo.
And having the big insurance and
right.
bonding and that kind of thing. And,
right.
and somebody else is doing a lot of your marketing.
And that includes a local restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
That includes a local hardware. I mean, your customers are the people who are working at those places that are selling to Boeing or to the Navy or whatever.
I just did a marketing research project for a group of people in South Carolina that want to start a food co-op store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an LLC, so it's sort of a merge between a nonprofit and a for-profit business. But they are actually for-profit because all the co-op members are the shareholders. They'll all get profit sharing.
Right.
So they thought they knew who their customer was because of all the training and the seminars they'd gone to. But as we started to do the research and clarify who their customers are in this particular geographic area, it was not the same ones as the food co-op people, food co-op stores customers in California.
And if they hadn't taken the time to do this, They would have wasted a lot of time and a lot of money and maybe even resulted in failure.
Likely, because a lot of those do fail, as do other small businesses who don't clarify.
If there's one thing you have to be crystal clear about, folks, as a startup, as a small business, growing a small business even, is who your prospect is, who can become your customer, and it's not the phone book. And this is one of the most, and folks, you need to have this understood. You need to have a good understanding of this yourself before you open your doors. Otherwise, you're going to waste a lot of time, a lot of money, and probably fail ultimately. Going to be right back with Janet Christie, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.